I'll go ahead and start about their passing things out. Happy to be here tonight in the denial of the proposition I just had heard read and discussed. But before I begin my material tonight, following him point by point and item by item, I want to first say one word about Hedges' rules of debate. Rule number 5, as my moderator read last night, said no one has a right to accuse his adversary of indirect motives. Here's a direct quotation taken off the tape. His intent looks to me like it is to mislead. That's directly in opposition to what Thayer says about it. My moderator could call time last night and talk to that. I'm not going to talk about your intent, Joe. I believe you're an honest man. I think you're deluded and deceived. I know you're wrong. But I'm not going to talk about your intent. That violates honorable rules of controversy, and I don't do that. And you sign your name, but you wouldn't. And I'm not going to do it because I think you're an honest man. And I sign my name, but I've got to believe you're as honest as I am. We differ, someone's wrong. We're here to discuss the Word of God and try to find out who is wrong. Now, first of all, concerning the questions that were just passed out, if it is scripturally right to use a bread plate for the unleavened bread used in the Lord's Supper, please give the scripture making it right and tell whether that scripture is command, example, or necessary inference for the plate. Of course, he didn't give a scripture. I'll give you scripture for everything I do. Just ask him. Thursday to Friday night, we'll be on that. I'll give you a book, chapter, and verse for everything to do, just like I am tonight. He didn't say it's a command, example, inference. It said bread plate has no scriptural significance. Therefore, you need no command, example, or inference for its use. You know, we talk to the liberal people all the time. Don't they tell us? Why, we just have a big fellowship hall. We just have parties. Well, it's not a command, example, inference. You just have it. We talk to them all the time about that. Well, in economy number 2, where a container's name would suggest something else, does the container always have to be present? Boy, you and Paul O'Nichols, you're different on that one. He said yes. And you marked it no. You say in metonymy, the container for a contain, if the contain is a liquid, the container does not, must be present. Well, obviously, there has to be some kind of container. Give him a canteen over there. You know, I could take this open a little bit and I could drink Rocky Mountain spring water. I drew this right out of a spring in Colorado. Does that spring have to be present? In a metonymy, when I say drink the spring, does the spring have to be present? That's by very definition a metonymy. A metonymy is when you name one thing and suggest something else. That's what metonymy is all about, and the only reason there has to be some kind of payment is because of the liquid. The figure of speech metonymy is not what necessitates it. Then number 3, multiple choice, please mark your answer. Does a cup mean always a drinking vessel only, fruit of the vine only? A drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine or not consistently used? Well, he said, and really he could have marked not consistently used. That's what he believes, it seems. He said his cup is used literally in every verse except, see, it's not consistently. If there are any exceptions, it's not consistently used. It's in those verses where a literal interpretation destroys the sense of the passage or is repugnant to reason. So he says there's some time when you come to that word cup, all of his authorities say, why, it means a drinking vessel. But sometimes it destroys good sense to say drinking vessel. He knows it doesn't mean that. That's my point. Mark it down. The very fact that it is, anyone can read it and simply understand that that's really not what it's talking about. You good people go home tonight, you can read every passage of Scripture, and you can know very easily really what it is talking about. When you come to the passage, I think the Scriptures are plain. Now, I want to just quickly refer to these other scriptures. When we negotiated for a debate, he said his idea to have written questions. That's fine. I wanted a whole lot more than 3, and he wouldn't allow but 3. I said, just 5. He wouldn't sign it. He wouldn't have 5 written questions. He doesn't have to answer these in writing, but I want you to have them. I hope that he will answer them. I'm going to go through them and get them in this speech. Number 4, according to your belief, must each person taking the fruit of the vine and the Lord's Supper drink from one drinking vessel by putting his lips to the vessel, or may each drink with a straw, a spoon, pouring into his own individual container, or in some other way. Now, I've debated men on both sides of this. One man I debated said, you can have a straw, you can have a spoon, any way you want to do it. So I don't know what he believes. Paul Nichols think that's what you need to. He disagrees with Paul Nichols, though, on one thing we've already seen tonight. Let's see if he disagrees with it. I don't know. I'm just asking. Number five, was the table of the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21? What is it? A literal table. Now, Paul says when you name one thing to suggest something else, the thing you name has to be present. And the Bible says, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord, the cup of demons. Ye cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. And so it names a table there. I want to know, does a literal table have to be present? Does it do that? Well, number six, can any kind of a drinking vessel other than a drinking cup be used for the distribution of the fruit of the vine in the Lord's Supper? All he said, we just all know what a cup is. We just all know what a cup is. Well, he said last night a canteen wouldn't work. It has to be some kind of a drinking cup. I never have seen one like that, frankly. Now, Paul Nichols had one that looked like that. His looked like one of my wife's faces. It's about that tall. It had a great big handle on each side. If I went downtown and I saw it, I would have no idea that people drank out of that. Now, I'm honest. I'm just simply saying it looked like one of my wife's faces when she had a lot of flowers around. Now, number six. Can any kind of a drinking vessel then be used other than a drinking cup in the distribution of the fruit of the vine? Last night he said, if it's called a cup. If you call it a cup, then you can use it. That's what he said. It's on the table. Well, suppose you call a dog's tail leg. It has five legs. I don't think calling it a cup makes it a cup. Now, his proposition, I object to his proposition. He hadn't defined his proposition. He hadn't really told us what a cup is. He just said everybody knows what a cup is. Well, I don't know, wouldn't know that was a cup. There are a lot of things that I wouldn't know about it, and I wouldn't know what Paul Nichols had to look like a vase to me. But he hasn't defined it. And I asked, could he drink out of a canteen? He said, no. Got to be called a cup. What if I called a canteen a cup? Could I drink out of it then? Number seven, did the church of Ephesus and the Corinth bless the same cup? And we want to find out more about that. As the bread, number eight, as the bread pictures the body of Christ, fruit of the vine pictures the blood of Christ, what does drinking vessel picture? And he said the picture of the New Testament. We'll be on that in a minute. Number nine, since the Lord's Supper is a memorial supper, does it picture something we have or something we do not have? We don't have the flesh of Christ. We have the bread that pictures it to us. We don't have the blood of Christ. Literally, we have the fruit of the vine that pictures it to us. Why do we need something like a container to picture to picture a New Testament? I've got one right here. I don't need something to picture it. We have the New Testament. It is a memorial. When you read it, Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. It is to call your mind back to the time that Jesus Christ was on the cross. He hanged there and he was put to death. Why do we need something to call our mind back to the New Testament? It's comforting, it's here, we have it, we have the New Testament. We don't need something to picture it. And then, number 10, since we eat the Lord's Supper, is the drinking vessel any part of the Lord's Supper? Well, if it is, it's a part we don't eat. Hear more about that? Number 11, are there any times the word cup is used metonymically in respect to the Lord's Supper and does not mean a literal drinking vessel? If yes, name some of these. Now, I passed these sheets out last night. I'm going to pass them out again real quick, please. If you don't have them, I told you to bring yours back. You may have it. If you have it, you don't need to. But these sheets right here, check the blanks to the right with the correct answer for each underlined word. And it has every passage in the New Testament on the subject of the Lord's Supper. And you're to check when you come to the word cup and it and this, I have a line there for a blank. And he didn't check all those lines for us. We know that he didn't. And he went on, and some of the things, he dealt with some of it. We had to listen to the tape several times to see if he did that. But the point is, it either cup either means fruit of the vine, a drinking vessel, fruit of the vine, or it means a drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine. And I'd like for him to check it. I affirm that every time the word cup is used, it's used by metonymy. And you name one thing to suggest something else. And the thing you suggest is always the fruit of the vine, in respect to this. All right, number 12, is it your practice to use just one drinking vessel in the Lord's Supper and to preach against the practice of using more than one? He said, yes, that is. He's already brought that out. It is his practice. We're here tonight to discuss his practice of teaching what I believe to be false doctrine. He practices it all over the country by teaching it, and that is his practice. And don't have any problem. You know, over in many years ago when I preached in my hometown, about 8 years, we dealt with the First Christian Church down there, and a third of them, a child of our teaching, we baptized some of them, and a third of them split off. And they called themselves Mountain View Church of Christ. And didn't have any, in the recreation hall that I grew up in as I was a little bit of kid, off and on. And they had a piano there, but didn't have anybody who knew how to play it. They didn't have instrumental music in that Christian church that called itself Mountain View Church of Christ. Well, they said, you can't talk about our practice. Not if they believed it. And I think they're just as wrong as believing it, false doctrine, as if they had it. And I contend that it's just as wrong to bind where God is not bound as it is to loose where God is not loosed. In Matthew 16:19, Jesus told Peter, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The literal tenses would read like this: whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. I dare not bind where God has not bound, and I dare not loose where God has not loosed. And I believe one's as bad as the other. I don't want to hit it on either side. I simply want to teach the Word of God, the truth, and simply nothing else. Well, I had a couple of more down there that I'd like to say something about. But in passing the Lord's Supper, passing the cup, as you call it, passing the fruit of the vine, if you drop that vessel and you spill it halfway through, do you have to go back and refill it and then pass it to everyone, or have the ones in the first place come in? I know what you say. I'd like the audience to know what you're going to say about that particular thing. Well, I want to get these questions in real quickly. Now I want to deal with everything that he said, point by point, item by item. I hope that I'll have enough time to get through, because I'm answering two speeches. His speech last night, I have a lot to say about that, and of course his speech right now. Mark, very quickly, they mean to give me the chart, all of them he used now, just in the order he used them. Just have her. Throw them up there in a hurry. Thank you. Art proposition. Yes, I believe this. 1 Corinthians 11 says, keep the ordinances I deliver. I believe in doing that. I accept everything on that chart. I have received the Lord. When he come together in the church, eat the Lord's Supper. He took the cup. Sure, he took the cup. I believe cup through the vine. That's what we're about. That's what I said last night. This debate will begin and end over what cup is as it's used in respect to the Lord's Supper. Now, I used the chart last night, my chart number 2. And he just lines up authority after authority, and he says, boy, the word poterion, the word cup, it is found 33 times in the New Testament. It means what? It means drinking vessel. Now, wait a minute. Last night, he agreed that it meant all these different things. He meant the word cup sometimes can mean suffering, Matthew 20:22. It can mean the lives of the people, Matthew 23:25. It can mean a literal drinking vessel. It can mean water. It can mean the wrath of God. It can mean meat sacrificed to idols. It can mean lewdness. He agrees on all these things. But when it comes to the Lord's Supper, it's either, and I'd like to know, it's either a drinking vessel, or it's a drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine, or it's fruit of the vine. I think he takes all three positions. He's totally inconsistent on it. I am consistent. I believe the word cup always means fruit of the vine, only fruit of the vine, every time it's used in respect to the Lord's Supper. But yeah, that's the idea, and that's what we're here for. We differ on how the word is used respecting the Lord's Supper. Next chart, please. All right, what cup can mean? Well, here, he took the cup. I believe that. He took the cup. Now, Robinson says it's a drinking vessel. Drinking vessel, cup, drinking vessel, thing out of which one drinks. Drinking vessel, the vessel of which one drinks. And so, I accept all the authorities. I've got Peter right here on the stand with me. What does he say it is? Well, he says it's drinking vessel. And then he goes ahead to show how the word is used. Well, up here, he agrees the word is used to mean the lives of people in some other ways. And so he names one thing, cup, to suggest a whole lot of other things. But seemingly, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, it's got to be literal every time. Or, it means cup sometimes through the vine. Actually, not literal every time. It's next door, please. Aren't what cup means? 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let the man examine himself, so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. Let him out of the bread, drink out of the cup. Robin says cup of wine, drinking vessel. Well, these two disagree. One of them says cup of wine, one says just drinking vessel. They disagree. One of them got wine in it, one of them doesn't. The authority is thing of which one drinks, the vessel out of which one drinks. I believe it's used, the way it's used. You don't define the word cup. Sure, it means a drinking vessel. But we're talking about the use of a word. There's only one way to define any word, and that's to see how the Bible uses it. If you go to Thayer, at least page 581, where he used the Greek word sophia for wisdom, he said this word is used in so many diverse meanings that the particular meaning will have to be used, found, and discovered in every context. Now, we know that the word cup, I believe, wouldn't become the word cup every time it's used to simply refer to fruit of the vine. Or he took the cup, well, that's fruit of the vine. And he gave thanks for what? The fruit of the vine. And he said, take this. Well, what's fruit of the vine? Divide it. What do you divide? That shows it's not a drinking vessel. You divide fruit of the vine. It among yourselves. That's what they divide. What Jesus took, he gave thanks for. What he gave thanks for, he said divide. And what they divided was fruit of the vine. They didn't divide a container. I don't believe you can divide that nowhere. I can drop it on the floor and I believe it still be or wouldn't hurt it. Pottery you might break. Well, Robinson says drinking vessel. A cup, drinking vessel. All of them say drinking vessel. We're talking about how they use it, how it is used. Next door, please. Or what cup and me, Luke 22, verse 20. Oh, likewise, all the cupbearers have said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Well, we'll get more on that in just a minute. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took cup. When he's up saying, this cup, the New Testament in my blood. He said that means that the cup represents the New Testament. But again, you see, same authority. That's your place. Aren't the Bible says cups, all are saved will carry on. Means in most passages referring to the Lord's Supper. Drinking vessel. Well, now, next chart, I'm getting connection to this. I think it's the next one. All right, yeah, here's a challenge. Modern chart. What cup can mean? Prove. He has total disregard for scholarship of the word. That is not so. Page 533 in Thayer, Greek word poterion. Last night he read, he said, now under A, it means a drinking vessel. You better go read it again, Joe. I got it right here. Before it even gets to A, it says a cup, a drinking vessel. Now A, properly, they give some scriptures here. Matthew 26, 27, Mark, etc., on down. And under this, he says, of the thing with which the cup is filled, by metonymy of the container, for the contain, the content of the cup, what is offered to be drunk. That's all under A. You may not like it under something else. Now, it's got a B down there, which means one's lot, one experience, whether it's diverse or good or whatever. There. And I've given it to you. Now, you're going to give me one more chance. There it was. I took it, didn't I? I took it. Next chart, please. The cup is not an empty cup. Well, do these, Robinson and all of them, one of them said cup of wine. The rest of them just said cup, drinking vessel. They don't know that. You better go tell them. Have you written the lexicon? If you have, maybe you can put that in here. But the definition of poterion means a container filled with fruit of the vine. Well, that's not what it means. He took the cup, he blessed what he took, he told him to divide what he took. Many of that is spelled out as the fruit of the vine. Verily I say unto you, all right, the cup, drinking vessel. No, it is the fruit of the vine. And he's already said in some time, well, if it's repugnant to reason, it doesn't just mean drinking vessel, it might mean something else. Take that chart, check it off, tell us all these passages. I don't know what you believe on all of them. I know these good people don't. Maybe some of them do. My timekeeper over there is only 20 years old. He does. He'd like to know before he goes on. He'd like to know what you believe on. Next chart, please. Aren't Bible differences? Bonner says cup always fruit of the vine. That's right. It's not contrary to scholars. I just got through reading the affair. What is offered to be drunk? Truth is cup the drinking vessel containing fruit of the vine. And yet the scholars say, what do they say? What do you say, drinking vessel? He agrees with scholars. Reasonable call cup because that is what it was. Agrees with the scriptures. He took the cup. Next chart, please. We've gone over this and that before. Let me see. Christ commanded the disciples to drink of one cup. That's my point. He couldn't say cups. When he said cup, he meant fruit of the vine. One fruit of the vine. You can't have, it took different kinds of beverage. When cup means fruit of the vine, to make it in the plural, you'd have different kinds of beverage. Simply not so. So Paul commands us to keep communion as he delivered. I believe this. Every word of it. I don't argue with scripture. I accept scripture. Make your argument on it. You've got scripture quoted there. I'll accept every scripture that is there. I receive the Lord, I deliver it unto you. Yes, I accept it. Next chart, please. For an example, apply the one cup. Well, example of things suitable to be used, yes. Serving, designated serve, warning, sample, specimen, etc., etc., etc. Jesus handed one cup to the disciples. Well, if you understand what the cup is, it's fruit of the vine. That's exactly what he did. He didn't hand it from watermelon juice and grape juice. He handed grape juice to them. The disciples all drank out of the grape juice. That's right. Apostle Paul delivered this example. Yes. Next chart, please. All right. What did Jesus do? He took the cup. That's right. The fruit of the vine. He took it with the hand. However, it was delivered. A drinking vessel, a cup, he gave the cup, reached out, extended, they took it, he commanded them to drink, and they all did it. They understood, they obeyed, they all did it. Next chart, please. For an example, Acts 20 on the first day of the week, Simon met the other to break bread. Well, we do that too. And he took the cup, we take the cup, we thank God for the cup, we distribute the cup, we all drink. What? The cup, the fruit of the vine. Are we found by one and free to break the other? We take it like it is. Next chart, please. A necessary in 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you drink this cup. Metonymy, you drink it, you see, the container for the contents. Now it's not just drinking vessel, is it? A little bit more, container for the contents. The contents are suggested by name of the kettle. That's my position, that's my point. Example, the kettle boil. When you describe something, the action takes place on the inside of it, yes. But I can drink the spring by drinking that canteen. And I'm about 700 or 800 miles from the spring. Well, the cup is not the contents, kettle not the water. No, you name kettle, you suggest water. That's the thing that boils. And so, next chart, please. All right, how to establish scriptural authority? Man, example, inference. I accept all of that. He took the cup, yes, fruit of the vine. Next chart, please. All right, three parallel. This bread is my body, this fruit of the vine. Look, the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Well, this cup, the us is the fruit of the vine, which the us is the blood that ratifies the New Testament. Any other charge?
Well, there's this one. There's 1, 2, 3 over again.
All right, grammatical bread. Bread is the body. This is a diagram. The grammatical construction is the same. Sure. Point is, we're talking about what it is. How about we say next time? Anything else on the charge?
It's just a repeat.
All right. I must get this word to me before my time is up tonight. Maybe we'll have more time on the next time, but I do have, you know, the speech last night to refer to. And there are certain things, of course, that we're going to say about that. First of all, turn to number 2, please. Number 2. 2A, 2B. Haven't read it. In John chapter 4, verse 12, we have a statement made over here about Jacob's well. We've already referred to Jacob's well. The statements made over here, art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself, his sons, and his cattle. They said it's deep to draw. And so it's a very deep well, had to draw. That's not the one. That's not it. On the transparent number 1, I think. Number 2, I said number 2. Number 2, 2A, 2B. Number 2A. All right, here we go. Jacob, the sons and cattle drank out of it. Cup, we all drank out of it. Good. What did they do? What did they do? Well, they drank out of the well. Here we have a well. They drank all of it. And out here in Mark 14:23, we drank out of it. The cup, they drank out of the well, we drank out of the cup. Next one, please. But what did they do? What did they do? Well, we have here, the Bible says they drank out of or from the Greek word egg, Jacob's well. The cattle drank out of it, we drank out of it, they drank out of the well. It's Jacob, your son's cattle. Did they have to put the lips on the well? In order to drink out of the well, they had to put the lips on the well. I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe that you did. You don't drink out of the well with that. I can drink Rocky Mountain spring water out of that canteen right over there. I can drink the spring. And still there. All right. Number 1, real quick. Chart number 1 up there. Just a second. Now, we point out the fact that metonymy, you name one thing to suggest something else. And the Bible says the fact you drink the cup. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you drink the cup. Well, did you do it like that? It's a matter of impossibility. You don't drink a cup, you drink palm hands, you drink through a vine. And the authority suggests that, but he wants to make them authority, literal drinking vessel. Well, you drink the fruit of the vine. Will you put up now my number T, Frankfurt, 4A and 4B, please? Real quick. We mentioned the fact that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 shows that Noah built a house with the ark the saving his house. Now, I guess the chart is with Brother Paul Nichols. The saving house, Nichols said you had to have a container. He said you don't. Well, they differ on that. Nichols said you did. And so here's Noah up here saying, come on, push it in, gotta save the house. Gotta save the house. Put the other one on the next one, please. In order to save the house, you have to have a container. He didn't have a house. The house washed away in the flood. But there he is up there saying, well, boy, here, we say go over here. Now, he said you don't have to have it. But the point I'm using is the word house means family. Say one thing and suggest something else. And house means family. All right. One question that I'd like to know about, you know, in Jerusalem, they had about 10,000 people there in Acts 4, 4,000, 5,000 were men. You have to have about 100 pounds of it, some of the ladies, if you want to use one container. I guess you could go up there and some way go down into it and drink it. But last night he made a big play on sanitation. That's not our argument. Yeah, I'd admit that I'd probably sit on the front pew. And I don't mean to be making fun of things, but I'm just honest about it. But he says they came in for sanitation. Well, the plurality came in a long, long, long time ago. I have historical sources here, and he admits it. The Ananiasian Brothers, volume 7, page 48. And that's written, all of them written before 325 AD, about 200 AD when this is written. It says, then he distributes the clergy, and when the deacons take the disc and chalices for distribution to the people, the deacon who takes the first disc says, is that Catholic history? Like you said last night, when did the Catholic Church start? That's about 200 AD, that Catholic Church. I always thought it started about 606, Pope Vitalian, what I preach. 200 AD is that when the Catholic Church, that's when they had discs and chalices. And I suggest that simply couldn't be. It simply is not. Well, the idea of the sanitation is not the point. The scriptural thing is the idea. It doesn't matter whether the fruit of the vine, cups contain one container or many. The idea of no one says you got to do it this way, we'll give way by place of suggestion, no, not for an hour. Galatians chapter 2, that's about verse 5. Well, what pictures what? I affirm that the fruit of the vine simply pictures, it simply pictures the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's really what it does. I'm going to turn very quickly my chart 14. And over here, Bible states concerning the idea that the New Testament, or the cup is the New Testament, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, as often as you drink it. No, this is the New Testament in my blood, this is my blood of the New Testament. This is a economy of effect for cause. What he's saying, the cup to us is the blood of Jesus Christ is what? It's a ratified New Testament. Jesus is the cause. It's like I'm the resurrection. Jesus is the cause of the resurrection. This is the economy of effect and cause. The cup is what? It is the blood that ratifies a New Testament. The idea is simply not there. Well, Catholic history won't work. All these other things will not work. I want to pass out to you in just a minute. What pictures what? What pictures what? I affirm that the fruit of the vine pictures the blood of Jesus Christ. Scholars say this is right. Pulpit commentary says, in my blood, the cup was a symbol of the blood of Christ because the gospel covenant was ratified by the shedding of blood. Number two, A.T. Robertson said it's right. The ratification of the covenant was commonly associated with the shedding of blood. What was written in the blood was believed to be indelible. Adam Clark says, the cup is the New Testament. Here is an undeniable figure whereby the cup is put for the wine and cup. And so it's not talking about a container. And not talking about a container picture in the New Testament. And International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, page 766, simply says the same thing. In other words, it's the pledge and seal and means of importing the blessings of the New Testament. And that is exactly the way that it is used. Sorry, I don't have more time. I have to get to it in the next speech.